50,000-watt blabbing cabin. Gary Meyer on duty until Dave Kaplan at 7. Steve, I got this email. It says, did you hear that story Steve just read about female prison guards having sex with a male inmate? When Steve said one of them was also charged with giving the man a, I got nervous until he said cell phone.
You know what that means. No, but did you hear they caught them because of the cell phone? They were taking pictures. So when they caught the guy with the cell phone, apparently they went through the...
They're in prison for a reason.
...images. No, these are the guards gave him the phone, right?
No, but the prisoners were taking pictures after they got the cell phone, right?
Yeah, but of them having sex with the guards, apparently.
Yes, but again, they were part of it. The prisoners were part of the picture taking.
Right.
They're in prison for a reason.
Right.
They have skills, but they don't channel them properly. That's the problem. Thus, in prison.
We'll hear about skills at the trial, probably.
This text at 24720. 6-1-2. That's the Blackhawks record right now.
Oh,
well, 6-1-2.
Yesterday was the 6th.
And again, Baba Bibble is correct. 60% of the time he's correct, 13% of the time.
It was 5-1-2 before yesterday's game.
And he will try to make himself fit in any square peg, even though he's a round hole.
Usually you have to count the last win. It has to be 24 hours since the last win to count it in the standings. So that will be another 4 hours.
Okay. You should have been a lawyer because the way you dance is unbelievable.
I did go to law school for a year.
Oh, it shows. This was sent to me by a person who attended the Rockford broadcast
a few weeks back.
And the Ice Hogs, the farm team for our Blackhawks, is based out of Rockford. Got a nice stadium there. And this person sent me the giveaways the Ice Hogs will be having for the season. On the 26th, the magnet schedule. That'll be the giveaway. You come in, you get a magnet of the
schedule. That's always cool.
Yeah.
You put it on your fridge.
And you know exactly when the games are. On Halloween, a refillable cup will be the giveaway. Refillable cup as opposed
no expense there.
To ones that don't refill. I don't know. Isn't cup just sufficient?
Unless they give you a paper one or one of those.
But maybe
home
at
ones
the game you can
worse.
Get a refill and then you take the cup home. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
It says refillable cup. And then here, November 9th, whoopee cushion night. This is nice. This is a nice list.
Can you imagine a whole stadium of that?
Yes, I can.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I can.
Oh, gee.
January 11th, this is a good time to have this. Fleece blanket night.
Ooh.
And then on the 20th of January, drawstring bags night. Everybody, I don't know if everybody gets one, but drawstring bags.
I've heard of drawstring pajamas, but
it's just a bag that's got drawstrings to close it up. And then on the 25th of January, you get your thunder sticks.
Those things should be outlawed.
And then March 8th, a ribbon magnet. I don't know what the schedule, by that time, you've already pretty much...
A ribbon.
Checked it out. I don't know what a ribbon magnet is. Must be of the Ice Hogs and put that in the refrigerator. Here's a great one. March 28th, Sock Monkey giveaway night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Sock Monkeys will be given away.
You have to go out to Rock.
Now, they've got a bunch of other giveaways. I'm just giving you the ones that are a little odd. They've got a lot of bobblehead nights. Bickle bobblehead on the 21st of December.
Oh, they actually have the pros?
Bowman bobblehead on January 3rd.
Wow.
Sod bobblehead. That's how you say that, S-A-A-D.
Sod, yeah.
Sod, yeah.
And Brandon Sod.
And Shaw bobblehead on April 12th. So the Ice Hogs, good organization, and we've gotten some great players out of there.
Crow played there.
Crow, who was solid last night again.
In their sixth victory.
6-1-2.
6-1-2.
For those of you who are really keeping track, not by this radio station, even though it's the Hawks radio station, leave that to John and Troy. They know what they're talking about. Do we have an accent in the Midwest? I know people have said that we do, aside from the fact that that whole da bears, I think a lot of people outside the city and state think that's how we all talk. Do we have an accent? I've heard this even before all that erupted. Mm-hmm. You would hear people go, I know the Midwestern accent.
Well, we say a lot.
We also, our R's are supposedly very hard.
Hard, ours.
According to people outside the area.
There's a list now of the sexiest accents in the country.
Are we number one?
No.
Oh.
Out of the eight,
we're not even
eight is mid-Atlantic. We're seventh. Midwestern is seventh. I guess it's North American. It's a North American survey. Canadian accent is sixth.
It's higher than us?
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Eh?
Oh, jeez.
Five, New Jersey. Four, New England. Three, Western. The Western accent.
Wait,
Western.
You're saying the Jersey is cooler than ours?
Yes. Well, New Jersey. New York is second. And the Southern accent, they say, is the sexiest in North America.
Wow.
Yeah.
The North, like Boston? Like New York?
No,
like
New England is fourth.
Yeah, that's...
New England is fourth.
Pepperidge Farm, remember?
It's parked by Harvard.
The Boston Bombers did a lot of damage.
I mean, maybe because we all have fun saying it.
The Boston...
Hockey car in the garage.
Boston Bomber was in a boat. In a yard.
Era.
I like that commercial. What is it for? Xfinity? Those guys?
The Hopper.
The Hopper.
That's the dish.
Yeah.
Dish satellite. The Hopper.
The Hopper. Those guys are funny. I like that. But the whole Dub Bears, Dub Bulls, and if you watch Chicago Fire, they've got a couple guys in the cast that really lean on that accent because I'm sure they were told, well, if we're going to be Chicago, we have to talk like, some of us have to talk like that. They all don't, but a couple of the guys, one of the guys was on Sex and the City. And what, Eichenberger, what's his name? You ever watch Sex and the City?
I don't know.
Okay, well, how do you buy your purses? Idiot.
Eichenberger.
I think that's his name. Anyway,
on that show?
If you see Chicago Fire, he was on Sex and the City. He talks like this. I'm opening a bar on the North Side.
Well, some people, I mean, but when you watch the news and they interview some people, they do talk like
the
that.
The news looks for that. These people on these newscasts, they look for these characters.
But I don't, you're born and raised in Chicago. You don't sound like that.
Well, I don't know. In my head, I don't think I have an accent, but other people might hear something. 312-981-7200. Tom, can you hold on? I'm going to take a little traffic break and come right to you, all right?
You got it, thanks.
All right, hang on. And Tom, thanks for holding on. It says David.
Yeah, no problem.
David Eichenberg is from this area. His family moved to Illinois when he was four, moved all around the suburbs, Evanston, Northbrook, Aurora, Naperville. He's on Chicago Fire and was on Sex and the City. He's got in this Chicago Fire show what I think is a very Chicago accent, if that's what they told him to sound like. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think a lot of times the Hollywood types put it on, like the super fans and the Dennis Farina types. But I had a cabbie down in Knoxville, and he wasn't from the United States. He's from Western Africa somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. And trying to communicate him in my normal Midwestern accent, he had a hard time. Well, not a hard time, but he pointed out the fact that all the people he was used to talking to in Tennessee sounded remarkably different than what I sounded like. Like, I had the accent in that part of the South, which was just kind of weird.
But you don't have any now.
Well, I don't think I ever had one. But according to the guy who's from West Africa who lived in the southern United States, all those people sounded normal, and I was the one that sounded sounded awkward. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's not United States. He doesn't know what we sound like. We're a melting pot.
He's the one. I guess my point is he's the one who would be able to differentiate what he's used to versus something that's a little bit out of the box.
Out of the box. By the way, I got a text here. It says, every male that calls your show sounds like Melrose Park over Bite Air. Every male, everyone. Steve, do you sound like you're from Melrose Park? Over Bite Air? Steve?
Yay. Gary, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, I'm afraid it started a long time ago with the movie Fugitive. When they were looking for Dr. Richard Kimball. And it's just gone on and on from there. And I don't know, that guy's an actor. I don't know if he's from Chicago or not. I'm personally from Indiana, but I get it all the time. I drive in the city all the time. And some people got it. And when they got it, it's thick. Or they don't have it at all. And I don't, there's no explanation for it.
Now, there's no doubt there are people in the city that have some kind of accent, and that overbite air.
Right.
Usually, when they interview people coming out of a Bears game, they seem to find every one of those guys. They, I think, turn it on because they're trying to imitate the super fan. Yeah, we got to get Flutie back, and yeah, we got to do that. That's what it sounds like.
But when you did watch the Ditka show back in the 80s, a lot of those guys were on. I mean, that's where they came up with the whole
idea. Hey, coach, I'm over by here. We got a question about McMahon and the nickel defense, West Coast offense over by there. Greg.
46 defense.
Hey, you guys are missing the sexiest accent in the whole country. It's not even on that list.
What's that?
It's the UP, Upers, eh? Yeah. Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
And Wisconsin, too. Over by there.
Over by there.
Well, I guess that's Melrose and Wisconsin. That's what it is. Yeah, hey there. Going to have a drink out of the bubbler? Yeah. You going to have a drink from the bubbler?
Say yeah to the UP, eh?
Yeah, that's true. And all the guys in Wisconsin, to generalize, seem to have a reddish beard. Just about everybody you see at a Packers game has a reddish beard. And that's the women, too. They all have a reddish-type beard.
Girls are a little thick there.
Well, they got to put it on for the winter. Unless they listen to this show and then they get a pass. They're not like any of those stereotypes. I like in the middle of winter when they have the snowmobile suits peeled down to their waist and the parking lot is just loaded with snowmobiles, even though it hasn't snowed. This is WGN. 312-981-7200. Mike, you're on the blower. What's up?
Gary.
Hey.
I spent 2 years in the Army, and I know this country is full of dialects that are hard to understand, but a while back you were talking about airline pilots, and you know they chose a Midwestern language as being the purest form of our language.
Really? Because they all sound like Chuck Yeager to me. Good day, sir.
Well,
slight icing through 14,000. Good day, sir. United 158, heavy out of O'Hare, out of ORD. Good day, sir. That's what they all sound like, right?
Okay, yeah.
They all adapted that, and I go to the Chuck Yeager school of voice because it seems like that's what they wanted because he was so cool. He was as Dave Kaplan would say, he's a stud.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Go to Boston or New York.
Oh, yeah, they definitely have that going on. I'm going to the park with my car.
The nasals from California, the Valley Girls.
Yes, but the Southern accent is the sexiest, as determined by a survey. Midwestern is 7th out of 8, as far as sexy goes. Greg?
Yes, sir. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good day, sir.
You were talking about Hickey Burr a little while ago. That was actually the theme song from the first Bill Cosby show where he played Chet Kincaid, the gym coach. You can pull it out of your music library. It's by Quincy Jones.
It's a song.
And those were just some nonsense words that he put over the song, but it was titled Hickey Burr, the theme song from his first Bill Cosby show.
All right, Hickey Burr. We're talking about that because apparently BC was on with Bill and Wendy.
Was that when he had some razzes and some roses and some reasonizes?
This is pudding pops. This is Jell-O pudding pops. Hello?
Hello?
Well, hello, Adeline.
I hear you talking, but you didn't know I was on the other end.
Oh, I did. I did.
Okay. What can I say? How you doing, Gary?
How you doing?
I'm doing. So I'm calling you about accents.
Yes.
I was born in Niagara Falls, New York.
Niagara Falls!
Yes, and then I've lived in Illinois most of my life. But I go back to the Falls often because all my cousins are there. When I go back, they tell me I have an accent. They say park the car, and I say park the car, but I have the accent.
Yeah.
I wanted to share that with you.
And I appreciate that, Adeline. Anita, I need a drink, too.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I need a life.
All
That's
right.
why I'm using that name, because the fact that I know this information, I need a life. And I'm turning to the master of minutiae, as you just called him, Elton Jim. I want to see if I can stump him with this, because, and maybe nobody knows this, but I've been watching Dancing with the Stars. That's why I need a life.
Me too.
And I know, I just got hooked on it, but at least I watch it at work on my break. So.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
oh well, I thought you felt that in my voice.
Well, Elton probably watches it.
Yeah. He probably dresses up and dances with it.
I like Bruno.
I'm going. Yeah. Maybe he knows where I'm going with this because
I hope he does.
Osborne is on there, and I think it's so odd. He always has his mom there, or Ozzy's there, or his sister Kelly's there, or his wife and baby. And it made me think of back when they had that old show on cable, and they always had that same foursome in the family. But there is another daughter, the older one, and they had the family portrait, like, you know, that house was like a haunted mansion. They had a big portrait of all of them. And there's an older sister. Her name was something.
Amy.
But
Amy.
Oh, but my
she,
God. You
she
know.
Doesn't really warm to all the activities. I think they're on a friendly basis, but she doesn't really want to get into all that nonsense that they've brewed up.
So, Gary, you know this minutia, too. Because, I mean, you would not, the only thing that they ever mentioned was, oh, and that's our older daughter, Amy. She looks like them with the pie face and everything.
I'm sorry I have to cut you off. Mm-hmm. I realize that if I go any deeper into that conversation, Marianne's going to invoice me because she does Show Business to the Nation News.
She does the Report to the Nation.
Report to the Nation, and I just realize I'm stepping on her territory.
But everybody knows Amy. Amy Osborne.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows. Let's get a nice sample of that Chicago accent from a number of years ago. Listen to this.
Soldier Field right now. John Drummond is live outside of Soldier Field with some of the fans who aren't too happy at this point, John.
Howard, this place looked like the deck of the Titanic about the middle of the fourth quarter as these fans began exiting Soldier Field. And then, of course, the straw that broke the camel's back when Lou Barnes fumbled down near the goal line, and then the sky literally around us, or I should say the fans around us, erupted. You could hear, I thought I was on the forecastle of a tramp steamer, the way the oaths and curses went up. Now, we're going to try to talk to some of these fans, and if they get unruly, we go back to you. Listen, knock it off. All right, hold it back here. Now, we want to talk to some of these fans.
Talk to this guy.
Take it easy. All right, talk. What do you got to say?
Wait. Next year, Bears. Bears are number one next year.
All right, let's either be orderly here or call this off, one or the other. Now, what are you? This man's got Jim.
How about getting rid of Doug Flutie and bringing Jim McMahon back in and do a left-handed?
Hey, what you say?
We need Jim
All right, let's get
left-hand quarterback.
All right, let's push it back.
What do you want to know?
All right, Howard, as you can see, the fans are getting a little disorderly. They get unhappy with what happened today, and we wanted to have some interview. I think that we're going to have to throw it back to you because these people do not want to conduct themselves as gentlemen. All right,
I'm
back
a gentleman
there.
All right, John, thanks a lot. I would get out of there. It looks kind of dangerous out there right
Even
now.
Even Drummond had a bit of an accent there. That was the era. I'm sorry. I don't care what you think about the team right now. Well, I know what you think about the team right now. Since that era, we haven't had that swirl of all the crazy fun stuff. That Ditka show on Sundays and then the game, and then Ditka would show up with Johnny Morris later that night on Channel 2, tired, and they go back and forth.
I mean, Sunday, that was the routine for every...
That's it. That set it all up.
When you went to a mall, there was no one in malls on Sundays.
No,
there was no traffic.
No, you go to a mall during a Bears game, people are in the mall. They're out. They
literally
don't. There's no personality.
We bought albums from the Shufflin' Crew. Okay, singles from the Shufflin' Crew.
They danced. They had funny outfits. Jim McMahon would have goofy outfits at practice. We had
the headbands.
It's all gone now.
Refrigerator.
It's all been sucked out. Who knows where? Kenny.
Yeah, Gary, every year I go down to Louisiana and this lady, she's Cajun. She always wants to tell me a joke. I can't understand one word she says except the name Boudreaux is always in it. It's like, I told you, what the hell was on a Boudreaux? And then she goes, you can tell that one. And I tell that, I don't even know what you said.
Ooh, boy, I guarantee you. You tell that.
Okay.
Yeah, ooh, boy.
From New Orleans.
Dan?
Hey, Gary, Dan. Hey, I have a voiceover friend, does a lot of commercials, and they actually call the Midwest the lack of all accents. They call it like ground zero.
I think a lot of
if
news
you watch
anchors
any national news, they all talk like us.
Right. The news anchors around the world, well, around this country at least, have whatever this accent or non accent is, that's what news anchors use as their starting point.
And that's how she described it. Her coach actually said it's the lack of an accent.
I'm Bill Curtis. Bill and Walter? I'm Bill Curtis. Bill and Walter?
And he's from, what, Missouri?
Kansas City. Yeah. That tornado won't be coming around here anymore. I told it what's what. I've got some video of Richard Speck topless that I'll be sharing tonight on the 10 o'clock news. I have the perfect elixir if you're having a bad day, you get home, maybe a little glass of wine, but even better than that, any Andy Griffith show in black and white. Last night when I got home, I just thought, I'm going to chill a little bit, and landed on TV Land, and Andy Griffith was on.
Which episode?
And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what episode, there's something about that show. Don Knotts is a stud.
5 years in a row. He won an Emmy every year
he should have. That guy.
Every year he played Barney.
And I know in the latter years when he was on Three's Company and stuff, it wasn't the Don Knotts, the Barney Fife that we knew and loved. But for those 5 years, that guy was a genius. And I watched the episode where the guy was working at the gas station and they thought he was stealing.
Oh, and they hooked up that.
Right,
that
to the cash register.
Yeah, Jimmy.
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 Yeah. And it doesn't matter. There's something about that show. I know you got your Breaking Bad and your zombies and your Boardwalk Empire and Game of Thrones. If that does it for you, great. But if you want to just get into, I don't even know, it tickles something in my brain. It's just so calming, the black and white episodes. When I went to color and Don was
no,
gone.
No, it wasn't good when
no,
it was
No, it wasn't the same.
But, and he even came back then, you know. In a few of the color ones, but it wasn't
no,
the same.
That once you break the chain, it didn't come back the way it was in the black and white episodes. But there's something about that show that just, and I'm not recommending narcotics unless you're in the hospital and need them. And when I was in the hospital with the broken ankle, they gave me morphine. And to me, watching Andy Griffith is as good as morphine without the morphine.
TV Land drip.
There's something about it that just puts me in that state. And maybe you concur, maybe you don't, but I'm just recommending it if you're having a bad day.
Is that
Andy Griffith.
Is that the one where Barney has the camera hooked
yes,
up?
Yes, Barney hooks up a camera to catch the thief, and Barney's on the film when they develop it.
We've got it's, the evidence.
It's brilliant.
But from the lab.
Don Knotts, he was the James Gandolfini of his day. He wore that character like he wasn't even acting, like he wasn't reading a script. It was just this guy that found this magnificent character.
And, you know, he called up Andy Griffith and pitched himself.
And they had been in a play together.
Yeah, they were in No Time for Sergeants
right,
on
that's
Broadway.
That's how Andy knew him. And when he got the show, he said, I want to bring this guy
well,
on.
Well, Barney said, do you need a deputy?
But then Andy...
Oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah.
And Andy
Barney pretty
really
much.
Knows when you see Andy watch Don work.
Oh, he's laughing.
He knows this is the money shot. He's just going to work around it, let him have it. And it was great.
Well, you know, Barney didn't want to leave the show.
I thought he wanted to go and make movies.
Well, no, here's the thing. Andy told everybody.
That was only going to be 5 years.
I'm leaving after five.
Yeah. So
then Don went and said, well, geez, I'm going to need to get a job here because.
So he started planning.
So he got Mr. Chicken, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, all those bad movies that he made.
Mr. Limpet, Mr. Chicken.
Yeah. And then Andy goes, oh, changed my mind, want to keep going. And Barney's like, hey, I've already got.
Yeah,
projects lined
I can't
up
come
here.
Back right now.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Too bad because when I watch those things, and I don't care how many times I've seen them, it still has that punch. All the characters were perfect, and it just last night. I don't know. I hadn't seen one in a while, so I don't know what it was.
No. I'm just sitting. And that's there, a good episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode, and I'm just sitting there going, "This thing is like morphine. It's visual morphine."
And think about it: the run of that show, the Vietnam War.
Oh yeah!
The protests were all going on, and none of it touched Mayberry.
That's fine. That's why you watch it, because you climb into this little cocoon, and you feel like there's something that can save you. You're insulated from all the nonsense.
There was no water cannons going on. There was no race relations
problems. No Somali pirates. No gravity to worry about losing.
No Kent State.
No,
everything was happy.
No 12 years a slave. Hey, this is Dan. No? I can't see the...
It says Don.
No, I pushed another one, but it's Gene. Hey, Gene.
Yeah, hi, Gary.
What up?
Hey, I just wanted to know if you heard that the Andy Griffith Show at one time, I don't know if it's still being used, but they used it as a Bible study for the whole series of Bible study because the morals and values and the ethics in the show were just so Christian, evidently, to teach people how to be with one another.
Oh, good. I can get... credit for going to church by watching it. That's good, too. I didn't know I was getting that credit, but great. That's an added bonus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gene. Donnie.
Hey, what's up?
Got Don on the phone.
How are you doing?
Good.
I like the episode where, unfortunate, where Opie shoots the mother bird, and Andy, you know, makes him nurse it back to health. That kind of sends a message. And
the whole thing, for your money, is there a better show from that era that you can watch and enjoy over and over again?
Absolutely not.
No.
That will be, you know,
I'm telling you, every time
one
you,
of the best.
Right. Every time you watch one of the black and white episodes, it puts you in that state of mind like, oh, I know there's terrorism and all that, but I don't care right now. For these 22 minutes, yep. I'm transported to whatever this is. And Don Knotts, and we had him on the air a number of years ago, and I told him at the beginning, I said, Don, just lie back because I'm going to do some stuff to you. It's going to make you feel real good. And he was, what, really? I was that good? Are you kidding me?
Oh, he was that humble?
Yeah. Come on. You're Don Knotts, you're Barney Fife, WGN.